This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Wednesday, December 16th. I'm Gavin Dahl with headlines. Cedar Edge voters approved retail and medicinal marijuana shops in the last election. Now, like in the town of Paonia, trustees are grappling with where to put them and where to disallow them. Though nothing was decided at the meeting last Thursday, according to the Delta County Independent, setbacks from schools were discussed, as well as parking and how to vet retail applications. The council leaned toward relegating the pot shops to East Main and the highway, rather than the pedestrian-heavy West Main Street. Moving forward, the Planning Committee and the Zoning Commission will guide the town's management of applications that could be granted as early as January. As Aspen ski resorts ramp up for the season, Pitkin County is requiring a traveler's affidavit from all visitors, according to the Aspen Daily News. If a visitor is staying overnight, they're required to have a negative COVID test result within 72 hours of their visit or quarantine for 10 days. The affidavit that they access online requires their home address and the dates of their stay. They're not required to offer proof of their COVID test or their hotel address in Aspen. Second homeowners are also required to complete an affidavit. Public health officials will conduct spot checks, and failure to comply could result in a $5,000 fine or jail time. The affidavit program began on Monday and will continue for the foreseeable future. A Grand Junction artist has created a memorial for those who've died from COVID-19. In the spring, Linda McBride began visualizing an art installation to show the numbers of deaths. Working with Rachel Eggleston of the Arts Center, she envisioned an outdoor memorial of tall panels covered with rose petals, each panel with thousands of squares and a handmade dot in each square for each person that had died. As the memorial took shape, other people got involved and donations started coming in. The installation of the memorial, now 55 panels and 85 feet wide, began yesterday at the Arts Center. After a month, it will travel to the Unitarian Universalist Church. The dedication of the Rose Petals COVID Memorial is this Friday, December 18th, from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Arts Center in Grand Junction, the address 1803 North 7th Street. A controversial 35-mile highway in southeast Utah, proposed by the Community Impact Fund Board there, is meeting opposition by residents. They say it will harm ancient petroglyphs and increase tourist traffic, while funding is desperately needed for essential services in communities impacted by the effects of oil and gas extraction. Justin Higginbottom of KZMU Moab has more.
You can find Lee and Debbie Elmgreen's ranch at a shrubby fork in the narrow canyons of the Book Cliffs. On a recent fall day, the Elmgreens have a map of southeastern Utah spread across their dining room table. Lee Elmgreen is reading a new report by the Bureau of Land Management. It's a 1,300-page study of a plan to put a massive road in their backyard.
The scope of this work included a review of available information and a one-day visual windshield reconnaissance of the project site.
The 35-mile highway would carve through the enormous stretch of undesignated wilderness that abuts their property. The Elmgreens worry the road is unrealistic in the tight and steep gorges. They also worry it will harm ancient petroglyphs painted on the canyon's walls.
All you got to do is drive this road and drive it slow enough to appreciate the drive. The vistas, the canyon structures, the rocks, the rock art is awesome.
An interstate highway through the Book Cliffs was first floated over three decades ago, in 1988. Now a coalition made up of seven Utah counties is reviving the idea. The coalition's goal is to identify revenue-producing infrastructure projects in the region. They say the highway would be a boon for recreation, but critics say the estimated $418 million price tag will likely be paid in part by Utah's Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, or CIB. The CIB collects royalties and rent from oil and gas mining on federal lands and turns it into grants and loans for communities impacted by industry. The money funds projects like parks, cemeteries, and rec centers, like this one in Moab City. Over a decade ago, the CIB loaned Moab $4.8 million to construct this aquatic and recreation center. But that statewide reserve has also funded nearly all of the seven county infrastructure coalition's projects. And Wendy Park says that's a troubling trend. She's a senior attorney at the Center for Biological Diversity.
The CIB is supposed to be an independent board that allocates money to communities that are impacted by mineral development. The Seven County Infrastructure Coalition has received tens of millions of dollars for fossil fuel development projects that only exacerbate the impacts of mineral development.
Last year, the CIB gave $27.9 million to the 7-county coalition for a project that would help transport oil in the Uinta Basin by rail. That's being challenged in court by Parks Group. The board also spent $9 million for the Leland Bench Road project near Vernal, Utah, also through the Infrastructure Coalition. A government audit found that project was more about economic development than offsetting the impacts of mineral extraction, the CIB's mission. Here's Park.
We're in a pandemic right now. We're in an economic downturn. Communities are hurting for funds to provide services. And instead of funding these essential public services, this money is going instead to funding an oil railway and the Buccleuch Highway.
The CIB has tried to make funding decisions more consistent. CIB staffer Keith Heaton says they even develop an algorithm to help.
It's not that the computer shoots out a decision based on inputs, but it gives the board parameters of where they should be in making their decision.
Those parameters can include how much land is owned by the federal government and so unavailable to taxing by communities, or it can take into account how much extraction exists. But the board still has final say. That means they can make exceptions to projects that are not recommended by the funding tool. Critics of the CIB point not only to controversial projects, but community needs not getting attention.
Bike paths to make it safer for people to come from Spanish Valley into Moab.
Mary McGann is a commissioner at Grand County, Utah, where 90% of land is owned by the federal government. Visitors are attracted to nearby national parks, but the town has real needs for projects where tourism dollars fall short. She says they've been trying to improve drainage, for example, for years.
The courthouse, people literally have offices in closets.
McGann says that grants from the CIB are rare nowadays. Now it's largely loans. She says some in local government are even worried about getting on the board's bad side. 5 years ago, there was a fight to fund an overdue jail renovation in her county. McGann blames politics.
We've been bit. We're under their thumb because we do rely on getting CIB money.
The economy is uncertain in Utah. So are oil prices. But population and visitor numbers are exploding in places like Grand County. After the CIB got dinged in the recent audit, McGann suspects changes are coming to how extraction royalties are spent. With recession and outbreak away, communities will need investment more than ever. And that means the cost of projects like the Buccleuch Highway has increased. For KZMU News, I'm Justin Higginbottom.
This coverage is part of a new collaboration reporting on the impacts of fossil fuels coordinated by the Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. Have you tested positive for COVID-19 and recovered? We want to talk to you about your experience. Email news@kvnf.org. Special thanks to KVNF News reporter Kate Redmond and KVNF News editor Jody Peterson. That does it for KVNF's regional newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thanks for listening.